Okay, we're on a tight schedule. Only got two more to go and 3 hours to go for. Depends on Brussels time. This is the last time we're ever going to play our signature tune, I Fuck Therefore I Am. Because from midnight tonight, we are not going to be able to fuck anybody from Europe. We're not going to be able to fuck Sophie and other French people and Germans and fuck Spanish people. So we're going to have to fuck people in the Hadley. Yeah, we can only fuck Hadleyans. So it's last time you're ever going to fucking hear this, right? I'm so sorry. We're sad too. This had two. Here we go, yeah. So.
Welcome, listener, to episode 9 of the Antigen Internet Radio Show, broadcasting for the first time from Ship Full of Bombs, one of Southend-on-Sea's most popular internet radio stations. I'm your host Jason, and for the next hour, we'll be surfing the second wave with seaside sounds, current affairs, and news and views from where you are, if you live in Southend-on-Sea. New listeners to the show may already be confused. This is episode 9. The show languished in the Mixcloud ghetto for the first 8 episodes after being rejected by every reputable podcast platform. But we've escaped, headhunted by Alastair Johnson when he saw the podcast regularly commanded audience numbers in double figures. He obviously thought this would be the shot in the arm the station needed for its evening schedule. So here we are, and tonight I'm going to do my best to reward his faith with record numbers of listener complaints. To that end, we open tonight's show with Earth Motherfucker, performing their anthem, I Fuck, Therefore I Am, live at the Smokehouse in Ipswich for Independent Venue Week. At this point in the proceedings, I think it's only fair to warn new listeners that this show might contain language that some people find offensive. So if you're a parent, listening with a child, and you think they don't swear when they're murdering people in virtual reality, turn off now. Bit of context for people from outside the band's small circle of immediate friends. We were left a bit baffled by the pre and post track comments made by Earth Motherfucker's vocalist Bruce McGregor. That performance was recorded on the 31st of January 2020, the date the UK left the European Union. Hence the remarks about no longer being able to fuck French people, including Sophie, who as well as being French and a person in her own right, is also the wife of Earth Motherfucker guitarist Rick Baylor. And by having to settle for Hadleyans, Bruce meant the people of Hadley, a small market town in South Suffolk, largely consisting of tea shops and residential care homes. That track was taken from the Independent Venue Week Live 2020 album, released in December last year. You can still pick up a copy from the Independent Venue Week website. If it's sold out, you can acquire the song on the band's IVF Live album, out sometime in March.
Yeah.
That was Alien with Follow the Trail of Dead Bodies. Not from what I can tell, a call to hold Matt Hancock and Dido Harding to account. Instead, a track that appears to be about alien abductions and UFO conspiracy theories. Interestingly, in 2019, the National UFO Reporting Center in the US reported a 76% increase in sightings compared to the previous year. There was also a sharp, and I'm sure totally unrelated, rise in people who believe the world is run by a cabal of Satan-worshipping cannibalistic paedophiles operating a global child sex trafficking ring, which I guess is credible, and that only Donald Trump can stand against them. Which on the face of it, seems less credible, particularly now. Although, as comedian Jerry Sadovitz once famously told the Edinburgh Assembly Rooms back in 1987, the only way to get to the bottom of child abuse allegations is to bring in an expert.
Like, there's been serious allegations in the news of child abuse in Cleveland. Serious allegations of child abuse in Cleveland. Now, to my mind, there's only one way of finding out whether it's true or not, and that is to call in Jimmy Savile. I mean, what, you can't afford to fuck about it? Bring in an expert. Am I right? That's why he does all the fucking charity work. It's to gain public sympathy for when his fucking case comes up. I've always known that. Aye, you might be able to fool you, not fucking me, I'll tell you that.
So maybe QAnon were right. And the world needs to send in an expert with first-hand experience to take down a global cabal of Satan-worshipping cannibalistic paedophiles. Let's hope Trump runs again in 2024, for the sake of the children. Anyway, at least by exposing Savile in 1987, Sadovitz ensured he would never work for the BBC again. Jerry Sadovitz, that is. Jimmy Savile remained employed by the BBC until 2007. But enough about Jimmy Savile. This isn't Radio 1. It's Antigen Internet Radio on Ship Full of Bombs, broadcasting out of Southend-on-Sea. As this is our first show from Southend, I rummaged through my record collection for some examples of Southend's rich musical history, but I could only find a Kronstadt Uprising 7-inch I bought when I was at school. But then the internet came to the rescue and informed me that Danielle Dax is from Southend. This is Hammerheads from the Jesus Egg That Wept mini album, released in 1984.
We'll be right back.
Danielle Dax, without doubt Southend on Sea's finest musical export. Fight me on Twitter if you've got too much time on your hands and you disagree. Thank you to longtime Danielle Dax collaborator Dave Knight for sending me the MP3 and saving me the hassle of ripping it from vinyl, and to Danielle for a message of encouragement. I'll do my best to avoid sinking the bomb ship. But Southend's not just famous as the birthplace of Danielle Dax, it's also famous for its love of Brexit. 58.1% of voters in Southend voted Leave in the EU referendum in 2016 to take back control of their fish. Like many of you listening out there in Southend, I woke up engorged with sovereignty on January the 1st. After a bit of a wobble on New Year's Eve, when I saw those fireworks exploding in a shape I didn't like, ruining my hard Brexit, I thought they'd explode in the shape of Winston Churchill, or a bulldog biting Michel Barnier's leg, or maybe a World War II ration card. But Sadiq Khan had to make it all political and ruined everyone's night. But after I'd signed an online petition to defund the BBC, I felt full of national pride again. But now it's February, and I'll be the first to admit that I'm feeling a little bit deflated. All this sovereignty doesn't seem to have made much difference. I know the doctors and nurses are all chuffed with the extra £350 million a week for the NHS. I mean, imagine the state they'd be in now without that money. They'd be in a right mess. But I've had to shut my record label because I can't get my head around the new VAT rules. My Facebook timeline is filled with Ramonas complaining that they're surrounded by piles of rotting fish. Even the people I used to look up to and respect for their political integrity, like Arlene Foster of the DUP, Michael Gove and Roger Daltrey, all started bemoaning on and on about Project Fear. So, cheer me up, listeners of Southend. Let's hear some of your Brexit good news stories. Phone or text the show, and I'll read out the best ones at the end. One thing I am glad about is that Brexit is finally sorted and we can all move on. It used to be a bit of a touchy subject, easy to lose half your listeners by saying the wrong thing, especially the ones who are hypersensitive. But now we've all moved on, it's safe to talk about it again without anyone getting upset.
Million years ago, when the first fish crawled up onto the land, our land, you get back in the sea, you finned cunt. Nothing at all. no planets, was there? No. And there's no suns. There's no crime. You could leave the house unlocked, couldn't you? Because it didn't exist.
That was Asian Dub Foundation and liberal snowflake comedian Stuart Lee, with Coming Over Here, Nothing But Finn's Edit. A song about fish, the bad kind, not the British fish that we love. I've included several songs about fish in tonight's show to make the people of Southend feel at home. Not only is it a lovely seaside town, but fish are important to people who voted to leave the EU. The UK fishing industry employs 0.1% of the UK workforce and generates 0.12% of our GDP. In fact, it's almost a sixth of the size of the music industry, which has been largely thrown under a bus with a combination of poorly targeted support for venues and self-employed artists and letting Priti Patel have the final say on the rules for touring musicians. Because the last thing we want is Julio Iglesias coming over here and overstaying his visa. Anyway, I know listeners in Southend aren't interested in music, so let's get back to the fish before anyone complains. As you've probably seen, Boris negotiated our UK fishing boats a 15% increase in British waters fishing quotas this year, with an extra 2.5% next year. Despite this, Rimoni fishing representatives are still not happy, pointing out that the sector is losing £1 million a day due to delays processing new paperwork for export. There's just no pleasing some people. But the last thing I want to do is come across as anti-Brexit. My upset Tory MP Ben Bradbury. Remember him from the last show? No, of course you don't. He's the one who tweeted about poor people spending their food parcels in crack dens and brothels, using the medieval barter system that we'll all be using in a couple of months when the pound is worthless and we are trying to trade a plate of Welks for a stale baguette at the mouth of the Eurotunnel. That Ben Bradbury. Like all of us, he finds hungry poor people hilarious, but he hates left-wing comedy. He complained that a lot of shows are, quote, just constant left-wing rants about the Tories and Brexit, and that he'd like to see more right-leaning comedians given a chance. In that spirit, I'd like to retract a joke I made at the expense of Jacob Rees-Mogg in the last podcast, one that implied his comments about UNICEF providing food aid to school kids in the UK being a disgrace were made because he didn't want fat kids getting stuck in his chimney. First off, several people with their minds in the gutter deliberately misinterpreted that joke as being a reference to a sex act gone horribly wrong, and that by chimney, I meant his rectum. That was not the case. Although it did prompt me to start sketching out ideas for a skit exploring how Jacob Rees-Mogg had evolved his peculiar thin and elongated shape. But then I read something by Frankie Boyle that said it was because his mum was too posh to dilate, and it was difficult to top that, so I didn't bother. So anyway, to cheer up whiny Twitter crybaby Ben Bradbury, let's find out what the right-leaning Jacob Rees-Mogg thinks is funny.
The key is we've got our fish back. They're now British fish, and they're better and happier fish for it.
In the spirit of full disclosure, I had to insert the tumbleweed sound effects, because even Tumbleweed refused to make a sound after that quip. I guess that sort of thing went down a lot better in the debating club at Eton. Or maybe you just had to be there.
Thank you.
was Big Thief from Brooklyn, New York with Shark Smile, a single from their second album Capacity, released in 2017. That track, From America, provides a tenuous link to the next section. It's international news. COVID has already caused massive disruption to people's travel plans this year. We had to abandon plans to spend a weekend at the Dutch border with customs officers stealing our ham sandwiches and laughing in our faces for being idiots. And we weren't the only ones. Even former President Donald Trump was forced to instigate a political coup in his own country, after shelving his original idea to start a war in Iran. He had to top up his tan at home this year, as he attempted to incite an insurrection in the US state capitol while senators were debating the certification of the presidential election. In something that resembled a cross between a Civil War reenactment and a Comic-Con cosplay with real guns, white people, secure in the knowledge they would not be shot, stormed the Capitol building on the 6th of January. News agencies around the world attempted to lighten the mood with photos of Viking clowns in face paint and comedy cow horns. And social media joined in by circulating a rumour that rioting Trump supporter Kevin Greeson died of a heart attack after accidentally tasering himself in the testicles. Although he did die of a heart attack, reportedly after being hit by a taser, and he may have accidentally tasered himself, the testicles element of the story proved to be a cruel Twitter embellishment, adding to the pain of the Greeson family, who described Kevin as a wonderful father and husband who loved life. The peaceful confirmation of Joe Biden on the 20th of January came as a shock to members of QAnon, who predicted an event called The Storm, in which Trump would be confirmed as president and end the deep state cannibal paedophile threat to America by sending Hillary Clinton to Guantanamo Bay. But before we all start laughing at the stupid Americans for being stupid, a survey found that 1 in 4 people in the UK believe a QAnon conspiracy theory, and that 6% admit to supporting QAnon.
Thank you.
That was Divide and Dissolve with Denial from the new album Gaslit. Divide and Dissolve are Takiyah Reed and Sylvie Nehill, a duo based in Melbourne, Australia, whose aim is to destroy white supremacy with the power of bone-crushing doom metal, which personally I have no problem with. Denial is available as a standalone download single on Bandcamp. I think the album is out in March on Invada Records. Let's do some news. On the 26th of January, we reached a milestone so grim and so serious that Boris Johnson nearly combed his hair before appearing in front of the nation to tell us he was deeply sorry for the deaths of 100,000 people. We knew it was serious because he stopped waving his arms around and was talking in English instead of Latin, and because the Office of National Statistics had told us that we'd reached 100,000 deaths 3 weeks earlier on the 7th of January. He told us in his most serious voice that his government truly did everything they could to minimise the loss of life, which prompted a lot of COVID Ramonas to print out long lists of evidence of his government not doing everything they could to minimise the loss of life. Some of it got a bit personal and unnecessary about Boris not attending the first five Cobra meetings and giving away all our cash to his unqualified mates to run the UK's response to the pandemic. I say give the guy a break, he had a lot on his plate. He just knocked up his new girlfriend. Then he had to quickly hammer out a divorce settlement with his wife, who just had cancer. And he had to fit in a 2-week holiday in Kent. And it's not like coronavirus was going anywhere. We'll be right back. That was Starving in the Belly of a Whale from Blood Money by Tom Waits. At the start of the show, I asked you to get in touch with your Brexit good news stories. And this is the bit in the show where I pretend that several of you did, just like they do in proper radio. We had a message from Ian Smith saying, "I just wish I was 21 again, frankly, because my goodness, what prospects lie ahead of us for young people now? To be out there buccaneering, trading, dominating the world again, etc, etc." And this from Hard Brexit 52 in all caps. "Bring on Brexit!" exclamation mark. "I can't wait to get our bendy British bananas back from those Brussels bureaucrats. I remember the good old days before we joined the EU, when you could hit Clyde Best from the East Stand Upton Park from 30 yards away with a good old-fashioned British banana. Then the EU came along with their banana regulations and flooded the country with straight Euro bananas, which, counterintuitively, lack the aerodynamic properties required of an airborne projectile in order to reliably hit a professional footballer of Bermudan descent. It's political correctness gone mad. God save the Queen." One of those was made up. The other one was from a former leader of the Conservative Party. I'll leave you to guess which one. It's the first one. That was the real one. Although, it turns out that Ian was attending the University for Foreigners in Perugia in Italy when he was 21, which is obviously a lot more difficult for buccaneering 21-year-olds now. Perhaps he would have realised that if he'd received any qualifications, which he didn't. Let's calm things down a bit. This is Cinderwell with No Summer, the title track from an album released on Free Dirt last year.
Dripping down my brittle dry hair, gazing at the water, pulling on the concrete. The steeple makes shadows, dancing with the street lights, listening to him sing in a language I don't understand. Much like my home, much like my home, much like my home, much like my home. Spent the whole year staring at the ring on your finger, looking for summer in the slight of a glance. I'll take you round to the side of the bar and show you there is no sun. Wake up counting how many times the bell tolls. Sometimes it keeps going, I've lost track of the bells. Summer is over now, it rains on the concrete. But the whiskey has seemed to have settled in the grayscale. No summer here, no summer here, no summer here,
Well, you got quite a long way into the show, which I guess means you're a liberal snowflake metropolitan elitist, very possibly in cahoots with a cabal of Satan-worshipping cannibalistic paedophiles. But that's okay. I'm not judging. Or maybe you're a Brexiteer who's comfortable and open-minded about listening to and weighing up opposing views. Whatever your political persuasion, I don't want you to go away thinking this show has some kind of leftist agenda. Like most people in the UK, I'll do or say anything for an easy life. If I hear someone being openly racist, I pretend it's not happening. And if the police start rounding up journalists, well, it's their fault for upsetting Priti Patel by covering politically sensitive issues like human rights violations at the Napier Barracks. Basically, if it doesn't affect me personally, I don't care. But what I do care about is statues. I enjoy all sorts of statues. Bronze ones. Stone ones. Statues of people who just happen to work in the business of international human slavery. And I can still enjoy those ones without feeling guilty about it, because I'm able to put them into historical context as statues of people who gave a lot of money to British institutions, like universities and museums, from the profits they made enslaving human beings from other countries. What we, here in Britain, call philanthropy. Which is why I was pleased to read an article in the Sunday Telegraph last month by Robert Jenrick, Conservative MP for Newark, who's prepared to expose himself to ridicule in the middle of a national health catastrophe by proposing urgent new laws to protect our statues. He wrote, "Our view will be set out in law that such monuments are almost always best explained and contextualised, not taken and hidden away." Jenrick said he'd noticed an attempt to erase part of our nation's history by town hall militants and woke worthies, and that what has stood for generations should not be removed at the behest of a baying mob. Which is why I've written to Conservative MP Robert Jenrick to ask him to push for this legislation to have retrospective effect, so that we can restore important monuments that have already been taken down by these woke worthies. Like the statue of philanthropist Sir Jimmy Savile, which was erected at Scotstoun Leisure Centre in Glasgow, but then removed in 2012 at the behest of the baying mob of the Scotstoun Leisure Centre Management Committee, when what they should have done instead was to make sure it was explained and contextualised, maybe with a little plaque, explaining that he raised money for hospitals, so he had access to sick children. I hope we can get Robert Jenrick on board with this. He seems to be one of the few people in government who has his priorities in order when everybody else is banging on about COVID-19. And as Secretary of State for Housing, Communities and Local Government, he's the one person who's not afraid to stand up to these town hall militants. Although militants is a strange choice of word for a Secretary of State for Local Government to be using about his own democratically elected local government officials. Militants is a sort of word you might use if you wanted to turn people against their elected officials, or to pit people against each other. The Brexiteers versus the Ramoners. The simple folk of the Essex coast against the liberal metropolitan elite. The people who think Black Lives Matter versus the people who are offended by the idea that Black Lives Matter. And those woke worthies who want to tear down our statues versus the true English patriots who want to protect our nation's proud history from being erased by restoring the statue of Sir Jimmy Savile, Knight of the British Empire, to its rightful place in the foyer of Scotstoun Leisure Centre. We're lucky to have men of principle like Robert Jenrick, who are above political opportunism and are prepared to prioritise new laws to protect our statues, when most people are wasting everyone's time calling for a coherent government response to the COVID crisis. Or worse, criticising the government for monetising a national emergency and turning it into a once-in-a-lifetime cash grab for their mates.
Like we did before, I shoot you over that beam.
John Callahan's remix of Let's Start a War by Yeah Yeah No from 2014. I don't think you can buy it anywhere, but you can play the video on YouTube. That's it for the first and possibly last episode of the Antigen Internet Radio Show to be broadcast out of Southend-on-Sea on Shipful of Bombs Radio. If they ask us back, we'll be on again at 8 p.m. on Monday the 8th of March. If not, we'll be back in the Mixcloud gutter where we belong. This show and the previous 8 episodes are available to stream at mixcloud.com/antigen. Thanks for listening. Stay safe out there.
Yes, I was voting Remain, and at the very last minute I changed my decision and I went to leave. And the reason because of that is because of, I go to a supermarket and a banana is straight. I'm just sick of the silly rules that come out of Europe.